1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. The living stone and a chosen people. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobeyed the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jean, thank you very much. I'm delighted that Darren's going to be preaching for us this morning.
Morning, church family. I don't think you could have got someone smaller and someone taller. But well done. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for your word, your living word. And we ask that you would speak to us this morning and that we would leave this place differently than when we arrived. Amen. 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 My son and daughter-in-law a few years ago put their feet on the property ladder and purchased a bungalow that was in need of much refurbishment. I gave them some of my advice based on my own experience of refurbishing houses. One piece of advice was that it was really important in a restoration project where the entire house was full of dust and dirt and rubble, that it was good to have a clean place to sleep, a clean place to relax after a day's work. Surprisingly, my son took this advice on the day of the exchange and said that he was going to spend the weekend painting the bedroom and decorating. And we were invited round on Sunday afternoon to view the said work. I found him having done quite a good job, but the sweat was absolutely pouring off him. And I was asked him why in the peak of summer that he was wearing a ski jacket and an overcoat. He said, "Dad, on the tin it says you get better results with two coats." I'm here all morning. My main piece of advice was that before he exchanged contracts, that he ensured that he had a full structural survey and that the foundations were sound and that the blueprints and the plans for the extension that had been built was to the correct specifications, and that if there were any details of any builders that done the work, that they had the correct qualifications. So this week, Peter is not speaking to us about a house construction project, but he wants us to understand the importance of Jesus in our lives, and that the building of God's house, our church. So over the last few weeks, we have seen Peter refer to Jesus as the living hope, the living word. Peter has challenged us not to conform with the ways of the world and to be sober and alert, to live in the light of Christ's return, ensuring we grow and engage in God's word, and importantly, crave God's word. The living hope, the living word. And this week, Peter refers to Jesus as the living stone. So this morning, we're going to be focusing on the foundations, the builder building walls on those foundations, the plans and the blueprints that are being used, and the walls that are being built. Peter's not referring to the BBC programme DIY SOS. Or maybe he is. Firstly, the foundation. We see Peter in verses 6 and 7 quote from Isaiah and Psalms. Firstly, in verse 6, Peter quotes from Isaiah 28. See, I lay the stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And then in verse 7, Peter quotes Psalm 118. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Peter lays his foundations on the Old Testament, the language that would have been so familiar for those Old Testament readers. There was a lot going on back then, stones and rocks at the time. Stone altars, God the immovable, unchanging rock. Even in Exodus we see the water come from the rock, the precious cornerstone. This would have been such a strong picture. Along with any construction project of the day, stones would be the normal product of choice. If someone had knocked something down, it would necessarily be built again, maybe differently, but certainly using the same stones. This week we've got some pictures. So in Jerusalem, the temple southeast corner catacombs lays this, the master course, the cornerstone. This cornerstone is 41 feet long, 15 feet wide, and 14 feet deep, weighing a whopping 70 tons, the equivalent of 6 double-decker buses. And in the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD, the German general Titus, soon to become the emperor, ordered the temple destroyed and every stone broken. And understanding the cultural and spiritual significance of this very cornerstone, he ordered it to be broken up and destroyed. But every attempt failed, no matter how hard they tried. They huffed and they puffed, but they could not destroy this cornerstone and gave up. The cornerstone that you see pictured is still there today. You can still go and see it. This cornerstone was perfectly cut and became the reference point for the entire building. All measurements, all angles came back to this cornerstone as the datum. As generations built on this same cornerstone laid many, many years earlier, and it forms the guide to the building of the temple above. An interesting thing was that the stones that were laid on this cornerstone had no fixings, no adhesive. They were perfectly cut and they meshed together as one, a technique known as dry bonding. Both stones had to be perfectly cut. Go to the next picture, Anthony. So this is a familiar cornerstone that you'll probably see today in churches, town halls, some cornerstones of elaborate carvings, and most of them, sometimes they have the date on them when they were laid. and the date of maybe the ceremony that took place when they were laid. However, Peter reminds us that Jesus is the cornerstone, the living stone, to align our lives to. Just as the architects and builders return and align themselves back to that datum point, we should be doing the same. Perhaps when we sin or ask for forgiveness, we return to the cornerstone, the datum for our lives. But we do find it hard to live up to the perfection of Jesus. About 10 years ago, it was the fashion to wear a wristband with WWJD on it. What would Jesus do? It was a great reminder to align ourselves to Jesus. And that's what the builders do as they return to the datum point. And that's what we should be doing. If we go back to the text, Anthony, thank you. The builders, next. Verse 4. As we come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. So as we come to him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, but chosen by God and precious to him. So on this construction site, we see we have two builders, the self-appointed builders, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and God. Firstly, let's look at the self-appointed builders. It was as if a large lump of perfectly flat ground square granite was dropped off in the building construction site called Israel. The contractors, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, came out and stood around it with their hard hats on and their clipboards. They measured it. They analysed it. They studied it. They weighed it and surveyed it. And then they said, "This isn't the stone that we ordered. It doesn't meet our specifications. It's not quite right. And there's a few things we want to change." So the builders rejected the cornerstone. And Peter puts it so much better in Acts 2. "Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on a cross." The self-appointed builders decided to build their lives on something else. Peter then reminds us, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. So the contractors rejected the stone that was chosen, but God overruled them. They said, "This is not the stone we want." But God said, "But this is a stone that you need." The real builder, God, he measured Jesus up for the job and he got the contract. Do you know, to live a good Christian life really boils down to one simple thing. One simple thing. We should love what God loves. And God loves Jesus. Matthew 17, verse 5. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So we've looked at the foundations, the builder. Now the plans and the blueprints. And my dad was an architect, and as a kid, I remember seeing the large A1 plans rolled up that he used to bring home. blueprints for his work, whether it was plans for a new school building, a classroom extension, or maybe a scribbled piece of paper with the planting for the garden that year. He would always return to the plan. It was something for him to go back to check, and check the accuracy of his measurements. Our blueprints are scripture, God's word. So we see Peter go back to the blueprints of the Old Testament in verses 6, 7 and 8. Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and training in righteousness. We need scripture, God's word, to bring us back onto plan. We need the building control, the building regulations to shape and control our lives so we can remain aligned to the cornerstone. And lastly, the building. Verse 9. But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So the building, our church, is made up of chosen people and royal priests. And that's you, lovely people here this morning. The person sitting next to you, the person sitting behind you, and the person in front of you. We are the spiritual walls, the men, women, and children aligning to the cornerstone that is Jesus. Verse 5, you also, like living stones, are built into a spiritual house. A spiritual house. God doesn't live in the bricks and mortar. We make up this spiritual house. That's why we can have a service on the beach, in the park, in a field near Swindon, or under a tree in Africa. We are built into a spiritual house. In the film, The 300, the Spartan general would brag and tell everyone about the mighty, impregnable walls of Sparta. When a visiting king questioned this, and he said, "I see no mighty walls," the general pointed to the elite fighting machines, trained from an early age, fearless and devoted to their commander. These are the mighty walls of Sparta. No one will pass. As we align ourselves to the cornerstone, we become these mighty walls. For us who come to Christ, Christ's life is our life. Christ's death is our death. And Christ's resurrection becomes our resurrection. If you're looking less and less like Jesus, you're doing something wrong. We should be becoming more and more like Jesus, the living stone. Recently, there was a study published a paper on about a symphony orchestra, which made very interesting reading. It was a paper about how a symphony orchestra viewed each other. It read, "The percussionists were perceived by the rest of the symphony orchestra as being insensitive, hard of hearing, unintelligent, but fun-loving. The stringed section were perceived by the orchestra as arrogant, stuffy, and unathletic. The brass section were overwhelmingly described as loud. The woodwind section was held in the highest regard and were described as thoughtful, quiet, and meticulous. So the question is, how can a group of people who have these sorts of perceptions of each other make such beautiful music? It's by submitting to one conductor. Submission for the greater good. Because on their own, they would be rubbish. Even though you may not like what someone else is doing, or someone else is organising, or someone else is playing, or how someone is leading. It's about submission to the conductor. Ultimately, for us, submission to God's plan. As we all align ourselves to the cornerstone, the most important stone of any foundation, setting the level, the angles and the dimensions. You may already know that the literal translation of Christian is little Christ. As we become little Christs, aligning ourselves to the living cornerstone, as God builds, we form part of this massive building project laid stone by stone. And as we come into land, Peter brings us back to our own journey, reminding us in verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you're a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We were not anyone, anything, or anywhere, but now we are people of God, royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. As we've looked at the foundations, the building, the plans and the builder, perhaps my own advice to my son to make sure he had a full structural survey before he completed anything. Perhaps that's something for us this morning or the week ahead. As we take time to reflect on our own foundations, what foundation are we standing on? Are we aligned to Jesus as a living stone? Is he the cornerstone of our lives? The building that we're part of, building that is us as Christians. Let's change ourselves. Let's challenge ourselves to be a Christian body, a church family that helps, supports and encourages each other. What plans are we looking at? Using our blueprints and plans wisely, are we following scripture, reading, understanding, studying and discussing, and importantly, asking questions? Knowing the builder. Are we acknowledging the builder, God, worshipping him for everything he's done for us, submitting to his plans? This week, let's align ourselves to the living cornerstone that is Jesus in all situations, and maybe asking ourselves, what would Jesus do? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray for help, guidance and support in whatever form that may take. And align ourselves to Jesus, our living cornerstone. That we would grow more and more like Jesus in the weeks ahead, giving us time to be able to pause and ask, what would Jesus do? Amen. And you may have guessed that we're going to sing Cornerstone next.